sure the caliph intended to do Tariq physical harm in the near future. The last incident, in which Tariq narrowly escaped an early demise, occurred not long after Irsa cleaned Sherzad's wound a final time with a mixture of old wine and warm water. Not long after Irsa realized the wound would not stop bleeding anytime soon. When she knew it would have to be sealed shut with a hot blade. Sherzad was not a girl to flinch away from such a thing, nor was she a girl to lament a scar. But Irsa knew this would not be a small thing to stomach. Nevertheless, it had to be done. Sherzad had already lost a fair amount of blood. Any more, and it would no longer be a matter they could successfully conceal from the rest of the camp. When Irsa brought her suggestion to light, Sherzad agreed it was not to be further debated. In the end, it was done using the slender tip of Rahim's Khanjar dagger, so as to ensure the smallest scar. The caliph was the one to do it, at her sister's behest. Sherzad lost consciousness in the process. In truth, Irsa was glad of it, for the smell of burnt flesh alone was enough to sicken her. Again, Tariq nearly escaped death. Of that, Irsa was quite certain. For after the wound was sealed shut, when it was clear Sherzad had lost all sense of herself, the caliph seized the front of Tariq's kamis with his left hand, still clutching the hilt of the red-hot dagger in his right. Irsa felt the hatred gather in the space between them, as sure as she felt the weariness take hold of her bones. The only thing stopping the caliph from seeing his wishes come to fruition was Rahim. Rahim pulled Tariq away, forced him to leave, then followed him, an apologetic glance thrown over a shoulder. Tariq had been quick to oblige, disappearing into the darkness, his face a storm of regret. But, thanks to Rahim, at least Tariq was still alive. Now it was just Irsa and the caliph alone with Sherzad, alone in Tariq's tent. Irsa, alone, with an infamous murderer of young girls. She finished wringing out the bloodied linen in a bowl of lukewarm water and stood, trying to stave off the settling fatigue. The caliph remained beside Sherzad, studying the wound in her back and the fresh wrappings draped over it. "When she wakes, I'll bring her some barley tea with valerian root. It should help fend off the fever and let her sleep through the worst of the pain." Irsa bit her lip, briefly lost in thought. The caliph did not respond, nor did he look her way. Instead, he remained focused on Shazi, his expression unreadable. Irsa could not ignore her compulsion to fill the torturous silence with sound. "Though it seems foolish to say so," she babbled, "I'm grateful the arrow struck at such an odd angle, for the wound is not terribly deep. She'll be sore for a few days, and I'm certain her shoulder will hurt her for a while, but it could have been much worse." The caliph finally shifted his gaze from Sherzad to regard Irsa with a set dispassion. "Yes," he agreed. "It could have been much worse." His eyes narrowed. "Had you not been there, many things could have been much worse. I thank you for that, Irsa al-Khayzuran." A nervous flush bloomed across her cheeks. After all, it was not every day the Caliph of Khorasan considered her as though she were a question he sought to answer. "Rahim brought you a change of clothes." Irsa took a calming breath. "There's clean water in that pitcher there, and, should you need more, there's a trough not far from here. I'm sure you'd like to wash away all the blood. I can step outside if you wish, Saidi." At that, the caliph waited to respond, as though he were gathering his thoughts. It was impossible for Irsa to tell, for he was impossible to read. Impossible in every which way. "There's no need for you to call me that." A flare of surprise shot through Irsa, stilling her hands of their fidgeting. "But I'd like for you to call me Khalid." The caliph braced his elbows on his knees. "Since you've already scolded me in typical al-Khayzuran fashion, it shouldn't be too difficult." An odd trace of humor flickered across his face. Irsa's flush spread from throat to hairline. I apologize for that. I wasn't in my right mind.
I disagree. I think, of all of us, you were the only one precisely in your right mind.
The intense way the caliph looked at her, as though he could see past her eyes into her very mind, only deepened Irsa's feeling of awkwardness. She brushed back the strands of wispy hair that had fallen into her face.
I suppose you were a bit hot-tempered.
The suggestion of a smile played across his lips. A fault for which I'm sure to be reprimanded in the near future. He glanced down at the sleeping figure of Sherazade. Deservedly.
Yes, Irsa smothered a grin despite her unease. You probably will be, though how Sherazade can manage to reprimand anyone for possessing a bad temper, I will never understand.
At that, the caliph truly smiled. The gesture managed to soften all the edges of his profile, rendering him almost boyish, almost beautiful, absolutely less monstrous. The realization caught Irsa off guard. It was the first time she truly grasped the fact that the caliph of Khorasan was still only a few years older than she. Still only a boy in his own right. And perhaps a boy with a bit more to him than the stories foretold. Irsa wove her braid between her fingers in careful consideration of this fact. Once again, they both fell silent.
I understand your discomfort around me, the caliph said quietly. My behavior earlier was reprehensible, and I'd like to apologize for it.
When Irsa's face reddened a second time, it was for an entirely different reason.
I hope you'll be able to forgive me one day, he continued.
She nodded, still searching for the right words. The caliph rubbed his neck, then angled himself away from the light, almost hesitating.
May I ask where your father's book is?
Though he spoke in hushed tones, Irsa looked to the tent's entrance before answering.
It's here, she whispered, in my satchel.
The caliph's expression lost a hint of its starkness. He returned to studying Irsa, his face creasing and uncreasing, with his unspoken thoughts.
I don't...
He inhaled through his nose.
I've never had a sister.
His thick brows flattened, casting a darker shadow above his eyes.
And there's never been a time I've stopped to form an opinion on the matter. Have you ever stopped to think what it would be like to have a brother?
Well, I don't have a brother. But in truth, Irsa had always wanted one. Ever since she was a little girl, she'd considered what it would be like to have someone to look up to, as a sister would a brother. Someone to tease her, as only a brother could. Someone to watch over her and needle her when it was both necessary and unnecessary. For many years, Irsa had thought to find this brother in Tariq, but Tariq had always been occupied by other, grander things, bows and arrows and bets and falcons, grander things that befit a boy such as he, much like Sherazade. And Irsa had never truly resented it, for she'd always hoped things would change as they grew older, that Tariq would see Irsa as his sister and become a true brother to her in time. The caliph inclined his head contemplatively. Today, when you yelled at me, it was the first time I realized what it might be like to have a sister.
And what did you think? Irsa whispered.
I rather liked it. Her mouth fell ajar.
Even though I yelled at you?
In truth, that might have made all the difference.
Really?
Irsa blinked, astounded.
Goodness, but you're odd. Has anyone ever told you that?
His smile appeared again, just as mystifying as before. Then, the caliph of Khorasan laughed, and it was not at all like she would have expected. It was relaxed, soft and melodic, though it was definitely not a sound that appeared to have been much practiced. It was also not a self-conscious laugh. It was simply a laugh that spoke of a better time, a time when a small boy laughed at better, brighter things. Irsa had the distinct feeling she was bearing witness to a rather extraordinary event.
I'm sorry, she said, trying her best to be respectful, though she knew her behavior had already surpassed the notion. I didn't mean to insinuate that you were odd.
You did far more than insinuate. You said it outright.
The caliph's eyes gleamed, but Irsa could detect no hint of menace in them.
Yes, she fiddled with her sleeve. I suppose I did.
In any case, I am far from offended. In all things, I find myself grateful to you. I should probably say as much.
Her gaze widened. Would she never cease to be surprised by him?
Thank you. His mouth slanted, as though he were still deliberating something. Irsa. Irsa, too, found herself lost in a moment of deliberation. Then she came to a sudden, irrevocable decision.
You're welcome, Khalid.
She aimed a crooked smile at him, and disbelief began worming its way through her. Before the color could rise into her cheeks, she collected the change of clothes Rahim had provided and passed them to Khalid. He stood and tugged the stained Rida from his shoulders. Then he glided toward the pitcher of water without a word. Flustered by the budding understanding of why her sister might have chosen to love this supposed monster, Irsa fumbled for her satchel. She passed the linen-bound book to Khalid in a flurry. Then Irsa raced from the tent, her mind a muddle of thoughts. She turned the corner into utter darkness and found Rahim pacing outside.
"What are you doing?"
she gasped, drawing back. He came up short at the sight of her.
I was..."
He dragged a hand along the scruff at his jaw with a scritch. His voice had a gravelly quality to it, even more so than usual, as though he'd been yelling to the heavens for an age.
"I guess I'm waiting for you," Rahim finished, firming both his tone and his countenance.
When he blinked, his ink-black lashes fanned against the soft skin of his eyelids with an almost sultry kind of slowness.
"Waiting to see if you're all right."
"Oh." Irsa tried not to sound eager and failed miserably.
"Oh?"
She twisted her braid around her fingers.
"Why didn't you just come in?"
At that, Rahim shot her a morose smile.
"He doesn't like me."
"I don't think he likes many people."
"He likes you."
His smile stayed fixed.
"You think so?"
Rahim nodded. "I'm sure of it. He listened to you, and he doesn't strike me as the sort of king who does that often." He opened his mouth to say more, then shut it as though he'd reconsidered the matter.
Irsa could no longer stomach it, could no longer stomach not knowing all Rahim meant to say, everything he thought at any given time. She knew it was beyond the pale, but she wanted to know everything he ever wished or wanted, at all times. At least now the reason behind such desires had a name.
Love. Irsa had all but confessed her feelings in the desert, and she thought Rahim had at least returned a measure of her sentiments, or at the very least cared for her a great deal. But he had yet to say a word on the matter. Irsa wet her lower lip with the tip of her tongue, her throat suddenly dry.
"Was there something you wanted to tell me?"
He took in a breath through his nose.
"There was, and yet there wasn't."
"What do you mean?"
"That's just it," Rahim sighed. "When I'm around you, you make me forget."
"Forget?" Irritation began to gather at the bridge of her nose.
"At the same time, you make me remember."
"You're confusing me, Rahim al-Din Walad." Irsa crossed her arms as though that would conceal the sudden thrum of her heart. Grinning, he scrubbed a palm over his tightly marcelled curls, knocking loose a shower of sand.
"I should want to say a great many things to you, Irsa al-Khayzuran. I should want to thank you for saving me today, to thank you for saving my best friend. But..."
Rahim took a slow step toward her.
"That's not what I want to do."
"What? What do you want to do?" she breathed. Another step, too close and yet still so far away.
"I want to ask you something."
"Then ask it." The warm scent of linseed oil and oranges reached out to Irsa, beckoning her even closer, asking her to stay. When Rahim swallowed, the heavy knot in his throat rose and fell. "May I kiss you?" "Why are you asking permission?" Irsa murmured. "Doesn't that ruin the moment?" "No," he smiled, but its edges wavered with a deeper meaning. "Because it's not just a kiss." "Why is that?" "Because when I kiss you, I want yours to be the first and last lips I ever kiss." "Oh," she said for the second time, for the last time. It was a sigh and an acknowledgement all at once. "So?" Rahim reached up to push the hair back from her face. "May I kiss you, Irsa al-Khayzuran?" Her heart stopped, then started anew, faster and more fervent than ever before. "Yes." His face solemn, Rahim bent toward her, tipping her nose upward with his. She felt him tremble as he brushed a tentative kiss to the furrow of her lips, so soft at first. Then he settled his mouth fully against hers, and Irsa finally understood. Understood what it meant to feel at home wherever you are. To feel as though you belonged in any moment, at any place, in any time. Because at that moment, with the press of Rahim's lips to hers, with the touch of his tongue sending wildfire through her veins, she knew she would always be home here, with this boy, in this moment, in this time, and that her heart would never be lonely again. Tariq had wandered the whole of the Badawi camp twice. Both treks had been completed in a trance. All the while, his emotions had been a flurry of remorse and resentment, of anger and anguish. He did not know what to do. The last thing Tariq had ever wanted to see was the girl he loved more than anything fall beneath his arrow, fall to the blindness of his own rage. And Tariq had watched. He'd watched all of it. He'd been unable to turn away because it was his fault. Tariq had realized it the moment he'd released the arrow, the instant he'd loosed it from the sinew. He'd wanted to take it back. Of course Sherzad had leapt to save the boy king. She had always been one to give all to those she loved. Just as she'd been willing to risk all to avenge Shiva. In the end, it should have surprised no one, least of all Tariq, that Sherzad had reached for the Caliph of Khorasan without a second thought. But Tariq had not counted on the boy king acting in kind. He'd not counted on him putting his life before hers, without a moment's hesitation. Yet Tariq had watched him move to shield her with his own body, just as Tariq would have done. Tariq knew then, as he'd known when he'd read the letter Sherzad kept tucked in her cloak, that this was not an ordinary love born of a passing fancy. In truth, Tariq had known even then that he could not win, that this was not a battle to be won. Only a fool would have continued to think otherwise. Yet Tariq had chosen to be a fool, and he knew it now with a cold, unwavering kind of certainty. The same kind of certainty he'd felt beneath the grand portico when he'd first realized Sherzad loved the boy king. He'd ignored the truth that fateful afternoon, but now, despite all Tariq's rash dreaming, all his desperate thoughts that one day, if Sherzad and the boy king were parted from each other long enough, Tariq knew his wishes would never come to pass. Sherzad would never return to Talekan with him. For she no longer belonged there. She belonged in a palace of marble and stone, a queen in her own right, with a boy king who loved her as she loved him. The boy king she'd turn to tonight, at all times. First when the arrow had struck her, then when she'd been in immeasurable pain, and even when the question of a hot blade against her skin had been suggested in hushed tones. Sherzad had sought the solace of only one person. It ached. It tore at every selfish part of Tariq's soul. It ripped in two every memory of the years they'd shared together, Every day he'd waited for her to return, to see that they were meant for each other, to realize the boy king meant nothing. Sherzad and the Caliph of Khorasan had been together for only a few months, apart for less than that. Yet each was willing to die for the other. While Tariq had been willing to kill the boy king at nothing more than a glance. How had their lives descended to this? Love for hate in the mere blink of an eye. Again, the memory of Sherzad crumpling beneath his arrow flew to the forefront of his mind. Tariq shuddered to a stop. In that moment, he'd made 1,000 careless promises to 1,000 faceless gods. Among these promises, he recalled one that burned with a sudden shining fervency. "If you let her live, I'll do anything you ask." A heedless promise made as Tariq had hurled his bow aside and raced toward Sherzad, unconcerned with anything beyond the girl lying before him. Unconcerned with all, even the lasting memory of his own hatred. Tariq paused before his tent. He had to speak with the boy king, the caliph. He had to understand what it was Sherzad understood, to know what she saw in Khalid ibn al-Rashid. For a monster could not love as the caliph of Khorasan loved, could never care for Sherzad with the tenderness Tariq had witnessed tonight. Of that, he was certain. His resolve hardening, Tariq ducked within his tent. Irsa was inside, sitting next to Sherzad's motionless figure, a single taper casting a golden glow through the yawning darkness. The caliph was nowhere to be found. "Tariq," Irsa glanced about nervously. "Where is he?" "He went to wash not long ago." Irsa unfurled to her feet. "I just gave Sherzad some tea to help her sleep." She continued to look about with obvious unease while rubbing her shoulder. "I don't think it's wise for you to remain here. The caliph will likely return soon." She trailed off, her meaning as clear as the intention behind it. Though Tariq knew she meant well in warning him, he ignored it. "She's asleep then?" Irsa nodded. Stifling a weary sigh, Tariq crouched beside his raised bed pallet, the bed pallet Sherzad now occupied, her chin tucked into his pillow, her wound covered in poultices. Irsa knelt across from him, her eyes fraught with a mixture of pity and frustration. After a time, Tariq met her gaze. "I'm so sorry this happened, Cricket. Please believe me when I say I never meant for any of this to occur." "I know you didn't, but I am not the one who deserves to hear your apology," Irsa said quietly. "I know. If you know, I think it would be wise for you to take the knowledge and act upon it in the future." With that, Irsa reached for the packets of herbs she'd used to brew Sherzad's tea and stepped aside. Tariq took hold of Sherzad's hand. He wove his fingers through hers. The skin of her palm was soft, save for the calluses he recognized from her years of training in archery, the years he'd spent training alongside her, encouraging her to defy the odds, to be more than the wife everyone expected her to be, to command attention wherever she went, as only she could, as only she had, from the day Tariq realized there was, and would be, only one girl in the world for him. Only one. Always. Even though Tariq knew it was wrong, he brushed a thumb across her forefinger. He knew he would never again have a chance to touch her like this, but he wanted to. One last time. "I'm so sorry, Shazi John," he murmured. "God, if I could change that moment, I would not have done it, not for the world. I would take 1,000 arrows for you." Tariq bent his head closer to hers. "When I thought you were dead, there was nothing I wanted more than to take it back. I'm so sorry, my love. I can't swallow my hatred as you can. I'm not like you, but I can swear I will listen to you next time, no matter how distasteful I find your words to be. I will listen, Shazi." Tariq rose to standing, then stooped to kiss her temple. "I swear on my life, you will never be hurt by me again," he said in her ear as he brushed aside a wayward curl. A muted yelp from the corner jostled him straight. Tariq turned. Irsa al-Khayzuran's face was frozen in a mask of fright. Her eyes were locked on the entrance of the tent, where the Caliph of Khorasan stood by the open tent flap, watching him. Tariq could find nothing in his expression, not a hint of emotion, not the slightest sign of awareness he'd heard a single word. The Caliph waited a beat before walking inside. Once he'd made certain his face was concealed beneath his ridda, he gathered Tariq's recurve bow and quiver of arrows in unhurried silence, then waited by the entrance. Without a word, Tariq followed him out into the desert. The Caliph paused to hand him his bow and arrows before striding 20 paces away. As calm as the eye of a storm, the Caliph withdrew his shamshir and twisted it in two.
3 arrows!
He began in a voice that managed to carry over the distance, though Tariq could not detect any sentiment behind the words.
3 shots, Tariq Imran al-Ziyad! There is no one here to stop you. No one here to defend me. I'll give you 3 arrows. 3 chances to finish what you started by the well.
Why 3? Tariq mirrored the Caliph's impassive tone as he shifted his quiver onto his shoulder.
1 for your cousin.
The Caliph thrust a sword into the sand before him, its jeweled hilt swaying in the moonlight. He flourished the other in a glittering sweep.
1 for your aunt.
And 1 for your love. Tariq returned his fixed stare. Even from this distance, the Caliph's strange eyes possessed an otherworldly glow.
But when you fail, and you will fail, you will never again repeat what I just saw.
Then you are jealous, Tariq called out, loud enough to echo across the cool sands. A thin stream of pale purple clouds drifted above, moving too fast for comfort, yet too slow to convey anything of significance. Tomorrow's storm would come without warning, if at all.
Jealousy is a childish, petty emotion.
The Caliph switched the single shamshir to his left hand in a single, fluid motion.
I don't feel jealousy, I feel rage.
Tariq waited a beat. The boy king's words were in stark contrast to his actions. Was this finally a weakness? Finally something that made him seem less like a monster and more like a man?
Do you worry about me, Khalid ibn al-Rashid?
The Caliph hesitated, and that said more than words ever could.
There was a time I did, but the fact that you waited until Sherazad slept to touch her shows me you know she would not approve.
You will not disrespect her in such a manner again. Nor will you disrespect me. Tariq let his recurve bow dangle by his feet.
I did not do it to disrespect her. I am not trying to win her back.
He took a measured breath.
I know I've lost.
The single shamshir flashed through the air once more.
Yet you still wish to kill me.
It was not a question, but Tariq chose to answer it, all the same.
Of course.
Then here's your chance.
It's not much of a chance, since you say I will lose.
You will. The Caliph wrenched the other shamshir from the sand and brandished both swords.
For you are a fool if you think I would choose to fight a battle I could not win.
Is that why you have yet to meet me on the battlefield, you arrogant bastard? The Caliph's mouth slid into a wry smile.
Partly.
And what are the other reasons? Tariq removed an arrow from his quiver.
Because I do not yet know my enemy, Tariq Imran al-Ziyad, and unlike you, I do not willingly fight the unknown.
I know who you are, Tariq ground out.
No. You think you know who I am.
Perhaps you should endeavor to change my mind.
Perhaps I should.
Again, the Caliph turned his swords in elegant arcs.
You have 3 arrows. Aim true.
Tariq inhaled. He knocked the arrow to the sinew, then pulled back.
He should aim for the bastard's heart. For, despite the boy king's pompous effrontery, no man could escape three arrows, fired in rapid succession. Perhaps he could dodge one, knock aside the second with a well-timed swing of a sword, but not a third. He could not be that gifted a swordsman. No one was. The thought was simply ludicrous, filled with the sort of bold audacity that routinely caused Scheherazade such trouble. They were alike in that respect, Shazi and the boy king. Arrogant, audacious, yet oddly steadfast in their convictions, oddly honorable. Tariq should aim for his heart and take him down, for Shiva, for his aunt, for himself. Anger coursing through his blood, Tariq pulled the arrow even farther back. He heard the sinew tighten beside his ear. The goose feathers between his fingers felt so familiar in their softness, they almost whispered a promise on the wind. The promise of an end to his suffering. He could do it. The boy king's arrogance made him weak, made him believe Tariq incapable of such violence, or unable to espouse the necessary skill. Tariq stared down the needless sights to the end of the arrow. The obsidian point gleamed back at him, menacingly beautiful in the light of the moon. The last arrowhead Tariq had seen was the one he'd removed from Scheherazade's back, stained crimson with her blood, dripping red with the blood of the only girl he'd ever loved. It seemed only a moment had passed since Tariq had promised he would never hurt Scheherazade again. A moment and a lifetime. And this? What Tariq was about to do? This would do far more than hurt her. This would destroy her. Beyond words. Beyond time. As Scheherazade had once said of his own death. On a night not so long ago, when she'd worried Tariq might perish at the hands of the Caliph of Khorasan. There would never be an end to this, unless someone chose to end it. Tariq lowered his weapon. The wind is not right. The wind should not matter to a master archer such as yourself. It should not, Tariq replied simply. Yet it does. The Caliph dropped his swords to his sides. Perhaps you are not the archer I thought you to be. Perhaps. He cut his gaze at the boy king. Or perhaps I'm merely waiting for a more favorable wind. The boy king's expression darkened in response, a muscle working in his jaw. Never forget, Tariq Imran Al-Ziyad. I gave you this chance. Today you fired upon me, and in turn struck that which matters more than life itself. The next time you attempt such a thing in her presence, I will flay you alive and leave the rest for the dogs. Tariq's brows shot into his forehead. And here I was, on the cusp of believing you might not be a monster. I'm my father's son, a monster by blood and by right. The Caliph's voice remained cool, despite the heat of his words. I do not make empty threats. You would do well to remember that. Yet you wish for me to trust that you deserve Scheherazade, that you are what is best for her. Tariq refrained from sneering. I would never presume such arrogance. And rest assured, the day I concern myself with your good opinion will be the day the moon rises in place of the sun. But know this, I will fight for what matters to me until my last breath. She matters to me too. I will never love anyone or anything as much as I love Scheherazade. At that, the Caliph's smile returned, mocking in its bent. I disagree. You love yourself more. Resentment simmered through Tariq's chest, roiling to a slow burn. Do not! Until you can learn to let go of your hatred, you will always love yourself more. Laughter burst from Tariq's lips, dark and scathing in tone. Can you honestly claim not to hate me? The Caliph paused. No, I do not hate you, but but I deeply resent your past, more than I can put to words."
He restored his blades to a single sword and began pacing toward him.
"Do you know how many times I could have killed you, Tariq Imran al-Ziyad? How many times I've wished in the blackest reaches of my soul that you were no more? I've known who you were, who your family was, for a long time. My father would have killed you simply for looking at Sherzad the way you do. For myself, I would have killed you, but for her, I didn't."
He sheathed his sword with a quick snap. "And I never would have, but for the events of tonight," he said, almost as an afterthought.
Tariq clenched a hand around his bow grip, taking the caliph's confession into consideration. As difficult as it was for Tariq to admit, he did not believe the caliph to be lying, for he did not seem prone to deceit, which put to question many other suspicions Tariq had long harbored against him, suspicions that had long begged for answers. Tariq's hatred could no longer remain festering in their shadow.
"Why did you murder my cousin?" he asked in a terse voice.
"Because I thought I didn't have a choice," the caliph responded with care. "I believed it was taken from me by a man who wished for me to suffer as he suffered. A man who sought to..." He took a halting breath. "Curse me for my heedlessness. To curse the families of Ray with the deaths of their daughters each dawn. And in doing so, the man cursed the whole of Khorasan."
A trace of anguish flickered across the caliph's gaze, an anguish that hinted at an untold amount of suffering. He answered as though he expected to answer for many years to come, as though he knew no answer would ever be sufficient.
"A curse? You killed my cousin because of a curse?"
Incredulity flared through Tariq. His eyes grew wide, blurring his sight to all around him for an instant.
"I was wrong to believe I didn't have a choice," the caliph said quietly, continuing to make his way toward Tariq.
"So very wrong, and I can never right this wrong, nor can I right the wrongs to your family. But I can promise to make amends, if you will grant me the chance."
Tariq gritted his teeth. Despite this revelation, despite the realization that this must have been what Shazi had been trying to tell him all along, the caliph's answer was truly not an answer. It was merely a string of hollow reassurances. Nothing of substance.
"Your promises are but empty words," Tariq shot back, "said all too late."
"My promises are not empty words."
The caliph stopped a body's length away from him. "Though a promise means little without a measure of trust."
Tariq's jaw set. "The sheikh of this camp once told me trust is not a thing given. It is a thing earned. You have not yet earned mine."
The caliph's mouth curved into a reticent smile.
"I think I'd like to meet this sheikh."
A spell of awkward silence passed before Tariq responded, his words equally reticent.
"Though I'm loath to admit it, I suspect he'd like you."
"Why do you say that?"
"He likes a good love story."
Tariq sighed resignedly.
"I'm not yet certain if this is a good love story."
At this quiet pronouncement, Tariq caught sight of a vulnerability buried deep beneath the arrogance. More of the man behind the monster. Tariq paused to consider the boy king he'd so long despised, so long wanted to see die a thousand slow deaths at his willing and eager hands. For the second time, Tariq saw the hint of something more. Not something he liked, perhaps not something he could ever like, but perhaps something he no longer hated.
"For your sake, it had better be a good love story," he whispered.
At that, the caliph of Khorasan bowed to Tariq Imran al-Ziyad, a hand to his brow. After a moment, with the slightest twinge behind his heart, Tariq returned the gesture.
Awry.
When Shahrazad awoke the next morning, it was with a spinning head and a leaden shoulder. Her tongue felt thick and heavy, and every muscle in her body ached. But she was warm, warmer than she could ever remember being. For the first time in her life, she woke wrapped in someone else's arms. Khalid was asleep beneath her. She was on her stomach, strewn across him, their limbs an unwieldy tangle. For a moment, she froze, thinking she might still be lost in a dream, concocted by one of Irsa's foul-tasting tonics. How is Khalid asleep? She stared at him, confusion warring with the traces of slumber. Then she noticed a sliver of leather mingling with a length of metal about his throat. He was wearing the talisman Musa Zaragoza had given her. Shahrazad had rarely seen Khalid look anything other than pristine. The sight of him appearing in a state beyond his control was intriguing, to say the least. He looked like a beautiful disaster. His dark hair was in complete disarray. There were smudges of dirt beneath one eye. They'd gathered in the creases formed by the scar beside it. His kameez did not fit him, for it was obvious it did not belong to him. It was too tight across his chest and too long in the arms. Shahrazad stared at Khalid's sleeping form in watchful silence. The steady rise and fall of his chest beneath her could almost lull her back into sleep, if she would but let it. Instead, she set her chin on her stacked palms and continued her careful study. Khalid at rest was a fascinating prospect to behold. Awake, every shadow, every hollow, appeared pronounced by the icy apathy he displayed for all things. The proud and petulant mask he wore to conceal the world of sentiments beneath. At rest, everything was softened, molded as if from the finest clay. His lips were slightly parted, begging to be touched. His eyebrows, usually set low and severe on his forehead, were smooth and without the looming threat of his judgment. His lashes were long and thick, curving darkly over the skin of his cheekbones. So very beautiful. A painting would be better. Her breath caught. Khalid's lips had barely moved while he spoke. His eyes had remained closed. She cleared her throat. I do not need a painting. Nor do I want one. Though she strove to sound indifferent, the husky rasp of her voice betrayed her. Perhaps she could attribute it to the hour, or to the recent ordeal, or to any number of... liar. The blood rising in her cheeks, she turned away from him, and gasped sharply. A searing pain bloomed from her shoulder and across her back. Shahrazad bit her lower lip hard. Immediately, Khalid's eyes flew open. He caught her chin in one hand, his gaze skimming across her face. Then he reached for a tumbler beside the bed pallet and passed it to her. "What is it?" she asked, clearing her throat. "Something your sister left to ease any discomfort." Shahrazad swallowed the liquid, its bitter taste coating her throat. She made a face. Though Irsa had obviously tried to mask the tonic's unpleasant tang with honey and fresh mint, it still possessed a rather dreadful flavor. While she drank, something stirred from the shadowy corners of the opposite side of the tent. Tariq soon appeared, his hair mussed and his eyes still heavy with sleep. "Is something wrong?" "No," Khalid replied. "Nothing beyond mourning mulishness." Shahrazad frowned. "No one asked you."
"As a matter of fact, I did ask him," Tariq yawned through his words. "For I'd be much more likely to get an honest response from him than from you."
Shahrazad cut her eyes at Tariq, more than willing to battle with him, despite her condition. "So now you're talking to him instead of trying to kill him?" Be kind, Shazi, Tariq retorted. The portrait of ease. After all, I did let him sleep in my tent.
We're in Tariq's tent, and we managed to survive the night here.
Sherzad could scarcely believe it. Again, she wondered if she might still be suffering from the after effects of last night's ordeal. For surely there could not be a note of humor in Tariq's voice. And she had yet to detect even a hint of tension in Khalid. It's clear something of note happened between them, beyond their attempts to murder each other. But Sherzad could not be certain whether all was indeed as it appeared. Wariness settling between her shoulders, Sherzad glanced from her husband to her first love, then back again. What had made Tariq no longer wounded to the core by the mere existence of Khalid? And what had made Khalid no longer of a mind to destroy Tariq on sight? I will never understand men. But she would not question her good fortune. Not now, at least. What is the hour? Sherzad asked, her voice still thicker than usual. It appeared the tea she'd consumed at Irsa's behest was clouding her faculties. Or perhaps it was the tonic left by her bedside. Whatever the case, she could not fault either draft much. Whatever she'd consumed had lessened her pain, which should by all rights be considerable. Tariq studied the weak light filtering through the tent seams. I believe it's just near dawn. She closed her eyes. Oh. But I don't think he should remain in the camp for much longer, Tariq said in a thoughtful tone. For a moment, indecision seemed to hover about him, as though he himself were unsure of his course. For I cannot continue to guarantee his safety, should anyone discover his identity. After all, he turned somber. This is not an army rallied in his support. Sherzad braced herself for one of Khalid's blistering replies. Something low and curt that was sure to provoke Tariq. When Khalid said nothing, Sherzad took the opportunity to answer with a quick nod. He's right. We should return to Ray with all haste, Khalid. Biting back a gasp, Sherzad shifted to one side, preparing to stand. I can travel there myself, Khalid replied. No, she said. No one knows you left. And the Sharban will be incensed if he believes something has happened to you. Not to mention Jalal, we should return quickly. And the magic carpet is the best way to do so. My uncle will be angry with me regardless, and Jalal will be unlikely to notice. At the mention of his cousin, Khalid's body tensed ever so slightly. Of course he'll notice. I would not be so certain. The sudden tension, along with a hint of dejection in his voice, made Sherzad turn back to look at him. Even in the early morning shadows, the change in his disposition was unmistakable, provided one knew what to look for. What has happened between Khalid and Jalal? When she saw the look of warning Khalid passed in her direction, Sherzad decided not to discuss the matter further, at least not in Tariq's presence. Instead, she endeavored to sit straight, stifling a cry at the shooting pain that traveled down the length of her arm. The entire right side of her body was stiff. She clenched and unclenched her fist in an attempt to restore movement to her fingers. Shazi, Tariq started toward her, concern marring his face. I don't think you should... Don't presume I care what you think. She glared at him while waving him off with her uninjured arm. Especially since you're to blame for this. Tariq winced. I'll not protest on that score. And though it's a feeble thing to say, I am sorry. More sorry than I can put to words. I know you're sorry. We're all very sorry any of this ever had to happen, she said in a peevish tone. But now is not the time to tell me what to do, especially in the face of all your mistakes. With a cutting glare, Sherzad returned to her task of restoring movement to the right side of her body, despite the searing ache behind each motion. Are you not going to stop her? Tariq said to Khalid, his exasperation all too evident. No, Khalid replied in an unruffled manner still lying on the bed pallet in studious silence. I'm not. Shahrazad shot Tariq a triumphant look. But will you lend me a horse and enough provisions to journey to Ray? Khalid said to Tariq, rolling to standing with unaffected grace, almost mocking Shahrazad for her inability to stand straight. Khalid! He swiveled to face her. I won't stop you from doing as you please, just as you will not stop me. Tariq grinned, clearly more than a little amused to see Shahrazad thwarted. I'd be happy to lend you a horse and provisions, but I expect full repayment in the future. With interest, for you can undoubtedly afford it. Also, don't expect to take my horse. Not this time. He paused. Or ever again, for that matter. I agree to your terms. Khalid stood before Tariq, the former half a hand, shorter than the latter, yet the two appearing to be on strangely equal footing. A king on par with his nobleman. Nodding at Khalid with an almost affable expression, Tariq glanced back at Shahrazad. I'll gather the necessary provisions and wait for you both outside. Then, with nothing more than a striking smile to shroud a lingering sadness, Tariq slipped through the tent flap. He left us alone. Tariq left to give us time alone together. Either he had fully come to terms with the situation, or Tariq was putting on a show worthy of Ray's finest street performer. Could it be possible he was giving her his tacit approval? Tariq was giving Khalid a chance to prove him wrong? Momentarily shocked into silence, Shahrazad sat still on the edge of the raised bed pallet while Khalid moved to the nearby basin to wash. What happened between you and Tariq? Shahrazad began without preamble. She dropped her voice. And who has my father's book? Tariq fired an arrow at you, Khalid intoned without pausing in his task, and lived to tell the tale. He looked back at her. As to the book, you needn't worry about it any longer. You've dealt with more than enough. Khalid. Swiping his damp hands across his face and neck, Khalid remained silent for a time. Tariq Imran al-Ziyad and I have come to a sort of understanding. He lifted the lid off a small wooden container beside the basin and shook a measure of ground mint and crushed rock salt onto his palm to cleanse his mouth of sleep. Then I should not worry? Finally, Khalid turned to meet her gaze. For Nasir al-Ziyad's son, I can make no promises, but for me, you should not worry. I promise. The last word hung in the air with palpable meaning. Shahrazad took in a slow breath. Khalid would not seek reprisal for what had happened last night, which hopefully meant he did not harbor any hidden resentment toward Tariq for trying to kill him, nor did he wish him harm for injuring Shahrazad in the process. The hope of reconciliation she dreamed of by the fire began to take shape once more. "Will you not let me take you to Ray?" Shahrazad asked, seizing upon this newfound sentiment. "No, I will not." He finished his ablutions without another word on the matter. Shahrazad wrinkled her nose in frustration as Khalid wiped his chin of excess water. "I wish you would not be so stubborn. And I wish you had not jumped before an arrow last night, but wishes are for genies and the fools who believe in such things." The hint of anger in his words brought a rash of heat to her skin. "Surely he's not angry with me for doing such a thing." "Do you think I meant to be shot with an arrow?" she accused. "You can't possibly be angry at me for this, Khalid ibn al-Rashid. I certainly did not intend to..." "I know." Khalid knelt before her, his hands coming to rest at her sides. "I didn't mean to imply otherwise, but..." He stopped short, the harsh lines on his face melting away. "You cannot do that again. I cannot watch such a thing again, Shahrazad." Her throat swelled tight at his pained expression, and her mind drifted back to the memory of a boy who had watched his mother die before his eyes. Khalid brought a palm to the side of her neck, brushing a thumb along her jaw.
"Do you know how close that arrow came to your heart?" he whispered. "To killing you in an instant?"
"If I hadn't pushed you, Tariq would have killed you," she replied, lifting her hand to cover his, to press the whole of his touch into her skin.
"Better me than you."
Her gaze hardened. "If you're asking me if I would do it again, I would, without question."
"Shahrzad, you can never do that again." His words were muted and harsh. "Promise me."
"I can't promise that. I will never promise such a thing, not as long as I live. As you once said, there isn't a choice in the matter, not for me."
Khalid's chest rose and fell on a deep inhale.
"I wish you would not be so stubborn."
He echoed her earlier words as his thumb grazed her cheek, as his eyes rippled with unfettered emotion. Shahrzad smiled.
"Are you a genie or a fool?"
"A fool, as I've always been when it comes to you."
"At least you can admit it."
"At least twice."
One side of his mouth curled upward.
"And only to you."
Shahrzad shifted both hands to Khalid's face. His stubble dragged across her skin as her fingers caressed his jaw. His eyes fell shut for an instant. It was not the right time. Alas, it was never the right time. But it did not matter. Even the heaviness of the tonic did not dull the fire racing through her blood. She pulled him toward her, slanting her lips to his. He tasted of water and mint and everything she ever hungered for in all her moments of remembrance. He smelled like the desert in the sun and the faintest trace of sandalwood, the palace at Ray and the billowing Bedouin sands coming together in perfect concert. His touch was silk over steel. It made her hot and cold all at once. His kisses were the perfect mix of hard and soft, practiced and unrestrained. When she tried to tug him closer, Khalid was careful, too careful. As always, Shahrzad wanted more. She wound her fingers in the front of his borrowed kameez, wordlessly telling him so. He stilled her, capturing her face between his palms. Shahrzad sighed, silently cursing her injuries.
"I hate that I'm not going with you.
And I hate that I'm leaving you behind, leaving you amongst all this chaos."
Khalid's features tightened at the edges. The reminder brought back another equally pressing matter she'd nearly lost sight of. Her eyes drifted about the room.
"Where is it, Khalid?
Her father's book, the reason for so much death and chaos." Khalid reached beneath the bed pallet, then lifted the small bundle her sister had been clutching by the well.
"Irsa left it with me last night," he said quietly. "I kept it within arm's reach, along with my sword and your dagger."
"Irsa?"
Shahrzad almost smiled at the familiarity. "She gave you permission to call her that?"
"In a fashion," he murmured, tucking her hair behind an ear.
"You once said you had no intention of being beloved by your people, Khalid ibn al-Rashid. Yet you've managed to win over several of your harshest critics in a single evening."
Shahrzad grinned without reserve.
"Irsa was one of my harshest critics?"
He arched a brow.
"She's my sister. Of course she was."
The hint of a smile touched his lips. Shahrzad's heart warmed at the sight. From beyond the tent, the loud bleating of a goat brought them back to the present.
"I should go."
Khalid pushed aside the bloodied bandages on the floor to reach beneath the bed pallet a second time. He collected his sword and her dagger, placing them with her father's book, still wrapped in a length of coarse brown linen.
"And the key?"
Shahrzad whispered. Khalid tugged the silver chain from around his neck. The black key hung over his heart, alongside the jade talisman. The very sight of both sent a shiver down Shahrzad's spine. She brought her hand to Khalid's chest to cover the cold metal.
"Destroy it as soon as you can, tonight if possible, waste no time. He nodded once. I'll ride through the day and destroy it as soon as the sun sets. Khalid rested his forehead against